Welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt regular council meeting of November 18th, 2024 at 7:15 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231 PL 1975 has been provided by a public notice on January 3rd, 2024, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was transmitted to the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Louis Ezikoff?
Here.
Mr. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Constance Hirschstrom?
Here.
Ms. Tina Kaufman-Maruth?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell is absent. Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here.
Okay, well, we're going to have to do if you want to start
off
with amending.
Yes, okay. Can I have a, I'm going to start off with asking for a motion to amend the November 18th, 2024 regular council meeting agenda. Should I explain why now, or just after the motion? Second. Okay.
Okay, and then I'm going to do roll call. Mr. Ezikoff? Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hirschstrom?
Yes.
Ms. Kaufman-Maruth?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay, and then you need another motion to add.
Right, resolution. So I need a motion to add Resolution 24-120, a resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt rejecting all bids and authorizing the re-advertisement of a solicitation for bids for the provision of certain chemicals to the borough's water and sewer utilities.
And we're going to add it to the
consent agenda.
I'll make that motion to add it to the consent agenda.
Second. Okay. Roll call.
It's 24-120, correct?
Correct. Mr. Ezikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hirschstrom?
Yes.
Ms. Kaufman-Maruth?
Yes.
And Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay. So that's going to now be added under your consent agenda.
Right.
And you don't have it, but you can read mine. We're ready for that.
Okay. All right. No report tonight from me. So I'm going to open the floor to public comment at 7:17 p.m. Consent agenda items only. Is there anyone from the floor who'd like to say anything?
Michael, 1337 North Valley Road. I just noticed that it says Rochdale Road. There is no Rochdale Road in Roosevelt.
Where does it say it?
Instead of Clarksburg Road, wasn't that intended that it should say improvements along County Road 5?
Well, I just don't know where you are, Mike.
Yeah, where are you from?
24-117.
Oh.
Oh, the resolution. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rochdale Avenue, should say.
Yeah.
It should be Rochdale Avenue? Be Rochdale Avenue?
Yeah.
Okay. This came from the county, but we'll definitely take that.
Yeah, it's just the county wrote it that way. We didn't. But.
Okay, yeah. Okay, just wanted to put that on. Thank you.
So I'll amend it before I send it to them.
Yeah, okay, good.
Or else we could change it to Rochdale Road.
Yeah.
Make it more alliterative. Anyone else? I'm going to close public comment at 7:18 p.m. All right, do I have a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes from August 5th, 2024?
Yes.
Okay. Second? Do I have a second for the minutes?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes, I'd like to, I reviewed the minutes, which were extensive. We've had a couple of long meetings in a row. And this was one of those meetings where there was a lot of public comment. There were 47 minutes of public comment from 7:19 to 8:06. And a lot of it was very substantive and regarding the amphitheater bond, which was on the second meeting. And a lot of it was in support of the bond and the project for many reasons. However, most of the comments, I feel, were briefly summarized, and in fact, too briefly, where a lot of what the public said, which I think is really important, was not reflected in the minutes. 47 minutes of public comment only was about 1.5 pages of the minutes. And so it was really summarized, I think, too closely. It's my recommendation, because of the importance of the meeting, and everything that the public had to say, which was extensive,
that the entirety of the public's comments should be included in the minutes. Now, I know that that can be difficult for the typist or whoever wants to do that, but I really feel that this is a very important meeting, and I don't feel like it's reflected in this tight kind of summary of what people said. They had a lot of, I think, important things to say, and I also think it's important in case these minutes are used in any way. Maybe they're going to be used to send to SHPO to talk about, so that they can see the public comments that were made about the project and that kind of thing. So I feel very strongly that it doesn't really reflect the entirety of the public's comments as it's written. That's one comment. Under the mayor's report, toward the end, if you can turn to it, again, that's extensive too. That's about a page and a half, almost verbatim of everything that was said. When you get toward the end, where it says Mayor Malkin received the text, in this section of the mayor's report, the minutes indicate that the mayor said that this email was either comparing me to or calling me a fascist. The mayor is referring to a link which I sent to quite a few politically minded people in town. And it's a false statement to state that I called or compared the mayor to a fascist when there was nothing whatsoever written by me in the text. It was a link to the Goodreads website, and it was an interview with Hermann Göring, who was a horrible fascist person, and he was explaining how easy it is to convince people to follow a fascist leader. The formula was very simple. All you need to do is say that there's an external enemy affecting you and impacting people, and it's going to be harmful to you, you need to be protected. Then the second step is to point your finger at the opposite party and say, they're too weak to handle it. Only a strong party, a fascist party, can handle it. And then they step up and they say, we're the only ones who can protect you. I found that to be particularly disturbing. I ran into it when I was watching a Sunday news show, and I'm in the habit of getting briefed on all the things that are happening in the White House and all by listening to all the Sunday shows, one after the other. And there was an author there who wrote a book on the rise of fascism, not only in America, but also in other countries. And he was explaining that it's very simple, and we're in grave danger here of that happening, because we have the same formula being used here that the fascists and the Nazis used in Germany when they said that, you know, they pointed the finger at certain groups of people and said that they're the problem and only we can fix it. And he suggested that we get an alert out, copy the link to this text on the Goodreads website, which was a website where it had a review of the book, an excerpt of the book. And it had the quote by Hermann Göring where he explained how easy it was to convince people to follow a fascist leader. And I was just deeply disturbed by it. And I sent a copy of that text, just the text only, a link to that website where people could review and see that those comments and respond. I did not want to explain to anybody what I thought about it. I wanted people's comments on it. What did you think? Were you disturbed? I wanted to know if it was just me or if other people would feel the same way. And I did get some comments on it. I know Maureen commented on a copy of it that I sent. But I sent it to a lot of people, a bunch of people in town who I knew were politically involved. And I thought, we really need to get involved in this election because this is a real threat to our democracy in this country. And it's easy to convince people to follow a dictator. I didn't mean any harm when I sent it, and I sent it to Mayor Malkin. And I've known Peggy for 40 years now. We've been friends. We've known each other for a long time. And I had no intention to harm anybody, and I never would think
or say that anyone in this town was a fascist. I don't know of any fascists in this town. It's one of the reasons why I moved to this town. I thought we were very like-minded people, and I believe we are, a lot of us are. But I didn't mean to cause any harm or disturb anybody. But I think that this section of the mayor's report is clearly out of bounds and represents an attack on a member of the public body, which is myself, with allusions to their motives, which is a clear violation of the rules of order under Robert's rules. Ideally, it should have been ruled out of order during the meeting. This section of the minutes should be amended and summarized, in my opinion, as Mayor Malkin received the text, which he felt was objectionable, and commented on it during the meeting. Anyone wanting to know more about this can always go to the borough website and listen to all the comments that are there. It's part of the recorded minutes. But I feel that it's totally improper, and I feel that I was damaged by these kind of comments. They're in violation of Robert's rules. They should be amended. And we did this for the prior meeting, too, where there was a section that was a lot of personalized comments and what was viewed as an attack on a member of this public body. And again, it was summarized in a very similar fashion. So it's my recommendation that that part, that small part at the end of the mayor's section, should read, Mayor Malkin received a text which he felt was objectionable and commented on it during the meeting.
Well, I'm going to respond to that. Mm-hmm. So as far as the first part of your concern, minutes are a summary of the meeting. They're not meant to state exactly what everyone said. They're a summary. If people want to hear or know everything that was said, then all they have to do is listen to the recording. The minutes are by nature a summary. So all you have to do is listen to the recording of the meeting and you will hear everything that was stated. As far as the text that you sent me, the election had not ramped up to the... That was on July 6th, July 7th. So, quite a bit before the election. You did not say, you did not write, what do you think of this, or oh, isn't this terrible? This is a good read. Perhaps you should read it. You sent nothing but the link to Herman Goering's statement talking about leaders. I am, in fact, sort of the de facto leader of this town. There's nothing I can do but take it personally. I'm the leader of this town, and the thing went on and on, calling people in the town fools. I was offended for myself as leader of the town, as a Jewish woman, and also for the public, who many times in that article were... I have the floor. I'll read it to you. I have it. It talks about the public being fools and being able to pull anything over their eyes. So you didn't say, what do you think of this? Don't you think this is scary for what's happening in our country? This is a good read. I got the link with nothing else.
You're talking, Mike. You're out of order.
You're out of order. No. You brought it up, and now I'm going to respond. You're out of order. I received that text from you with no other written information, That link. Excuse me, I have the floor. It made no mention of, like, what do you think of this? What do you think of me? As the leader of this town, as the mayor, I was deeply offended because of being Jewish, talking about the leaders and how they can fool people and bring them along to their way of thinking, and also for how it referred to the public. And I complained about it. Now, if that was improper at the time, I wasn't told that. I just find it ironic that you keep saying you were attacked when I was the one who received this horrendous text. I was the one who received this text. I read it, and my mouth dropped open, but you feel attacked. I just think that's really ironic. Now, it's up to the council how they want to deal. You like to excise everything that you don't like from the minutes, but what you do like, you want more detail. So, it's, I have no vote in this. It's up to the council. But I think that it's, as I said, the minutes are a summary. They are not supposed to state every word that was said, whether it was for, in favor of the amphitheater, not in favor of the amphitheater, or not about the amphitheater at all. And anyone, as I said, can listen to the recording. But I don't think you have the right to pick and choose what you want more of, less of, take this out, add more of this in. Minutes are a summary. And you can say that you felt attacked, but you certainly did not feel what I felt as a Jewish person and the leader of the town reading this about one of the most evil men who's ever lived.
There's a lot there to respond to.
I don't think we should do it.
The only reason I'm doing this is because I have not responded to it. And it
you
was
certainly
brought,
did.
Hold on. Now, it was brought up at three separate meetings. One meeting I wasn't there, and you acknowledged that although Hamilton is not here, I'm going to make this statement about him, and you mentioned me by name, calling you a fat... It was all kinds
comparing
of...
Comparing me.
That was a total misinterpretation.
How would I know? You sent nothing with
well,
it.
Well, you didn't contact me to say, what did you mean by
I
that?
I had no interest in contacting you after receiving that.
Maureen contacted me and said, what did you mean by that? And I gave a little...
Well, Maureen's not the mayor, and she's not Jewish, so maybe she took it differently.
You're talking over me, and I have the floor. But I don't know why you would take this as a personal attack on you when there was nothing written by me in it. I didn't send it.
You sent it to me with no explanation.
I sent it to 20 people in town.
Well, 20 people are not the mayor and not Jewish.
But I don't see why you didn't contact me or say, Mike, you know,
why didn't you contact me and say, Peggy, why don't you read this? It's kind of scary what's happening in this country. Read this. This is a really good read. You didn't do that. You simply sent the text. So I had no other way to take it. I don't. Why is it playing out now?
Because you said something that I wanted to respond to.
Well, could we? We're taking up a lot of time with this.
We can, but a lot of time in three separate meetings was taken up by you and in the mirror.
No, one was taken up by me, and the last two are you.
Time out. You're out of order. You know?
Oh yeah, you talked over me the whole time.
Not the whole time.
Well, much of it.
Just to correct some of the things.
No, I had the floor.
The mayor's report in this meeting was over 1.5 pages long, and it was almost verbatim. However, the public's comments, which were 47 minutes long and were substantive, were very tightly summarized, and a lot of the substantive parts of what the public had to say weren't there. So I feel that the contrast between your report, quite frankly, and the 47 minutes of public comment, which was not, I don't think was reflected. There were a lot of things that were just not in the public section. It gives an inaccurate report of the meeting and the summary of the meeting. That's why I think some meetings it's important to really, to not just say so-and-so supported this. And, you know, to have it be that tightly. I think this was an important meeting, and I really think the public should respect it to the point where their comments, which they thought about and spoke about, which is not easy at these public meetings, should be reflected in the minutes. I don't think they're adequately reflected. That's my opinion of it. I'm not looking to strike things that I don't like, which was one of the comments. If it's out of order, I don't feel that it should be in the public meeting. I don't think sections of the agenda should be used to launch personal attacks on people. That's not what we're here for.
That's not what I'm here for.
And I don't think anybody in this room should attack any other member of the public body. And that's not just my opinion. We agree to Robert's Rules of Order in the beginning of the year. I think they're important. I think you need to maintain order and civility in meetings. And I'm afraid that they're not being done in that way.
I'm afraid that because you want to pick and choose what you want and don't want in there.
That's not true.
Okay. So, any other comments about the minutes? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the minutes? Oh, that's right. This is a discussion. Motion. Right. Okay.
Roll call. So it's a motion to adopt or table.
As is.
To adopt as is.
Mr. Escoff? Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Ms. Hirschfeld?
No.
Ms. Kaufman-Marut?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
No.
So the minutes are not adopted?
Not adopted. Okay, I'm going to move on to correspondence.
Well, I don't know really what's going to happen.
Well,
yeah,
we have
them.
To.
I mean, if you want minutes verbatim, then maybe you should consider a court reporter to be here and pay for them.
What about the ones that we're talking about?
Well, it's already passed, but I'm saying moving forward, no, I think you should consider a court reporter.
Going past, I do think it's important that the support for the amphitheater project is recorded. You can't expect if you're giving something to someone to say, oh, go to the website and listen to the report. So this in particular, I feel that we should have a more fuller report for that.
Basically, you're exercising censorship because you don't like what you don't feel that your side is presented well enough.
I thought it was
in the minutes.
I don't know that because I haven't put it side by side with reporting. I'm just saying I can't. Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently, Councilman Hamilton has. So.
Well, that's fine. But that's him. I don't listen to the recordings at all. So
well, then maybe then perhaps.
And if I want to pass this on to someone, there's no way to do that. They're not going to sit and listen to the minutes of our meeting. That's all
people
do.
People do listen. I mean, perhaps you should listen.
Do.
I'm only saying maybe you should listen now before you make the suggestion of adding.
I look at things in writing.
I understand that, but you're not happy with what's in writing.
I
so that's what I'm saying. So why don't you listen, and then you'll be able to make an informed decision.
Well, I know we had 47 minutes of discussion, and it's not recorded.
Well, it
so
is.
It's just in a written format, and I'm just requesting.
Well, the summary is in the written format.
I understand that, but I would like to see the written format of that particular section.
So, then I think we should just go ahead and hire the court reporter. Because are you going to pick and choose which meetings you want more information and more detail and which you want less?
Okay. Why can't we at a meeting say that's what we need and we go back and do it? We don't have to do every and hire a whole court reporter.
Right, because you just want it for the things you want it for.
The meeting.
I understand they can transfer.
They can listen and transfer.
Well,
it's going to take
going back.
Going back, and now you want to parade them. That's going to take a long time, too.
My computer and my phone, if you play the minutes, we'll type it out, we'll record it, and write it all out if you wanted to.
Yes, because you need a microphone for that, Michael.
Well, yeah, I have a microphone on both of them. I mean, you know, you just
so you're
put
saying
it up
there's a
there,
package, a program out there?
Oh, yeah, I mean.
And we could buy the program. That would be great.
Nancy used it when she couldn't adequately do these kinds of things, and it was speech to text. And it was very accurate, and you could also then tweak it if it wasn't, and it would improve itself. But basically, you would just listen to a recording, and all the words would appear down there, and it would be done.
Do you know?
Yeah, it's fine.
Any program?
It's part of a regular app, and I think it might have been a Word.
Google has voice text.
Yeah,
and it's free.
Yeah. So it's possible.
Google has voice text.
Well, then we'll have an accurate. Not summary, we'll have an accurate recording of each meeting.
What did you say?
Like, if you go into Google, like on your app, there's a microphone. If you you enable your microphone and you talk into your phone everything that you say.
Oh, right, but what about minutes that are already...
Minutes are already done.
I mean, recordings that have already done.
I thought you were talking about...
Yeah, yeah, it'll listen to...
In the future.
It'll listen to... if you put it up to a recording, it will start to put it up in text on there, too. So it's possible to be done without...
I have no idea. Minutes are going to be tabled for quite a while. We have a lot that are outstanding.
Well, and it's the end of the year, so we have a lot going on.
Let's move on.
But again, minutes are only supposed to be a summary. And you only put in the action of what actually, you know, like your...
The results.
Goals, your resolutions, the results.
Well, I think we should take a vote on whether we do want them recorded exactly or continue the way they have been, which is what minutes are, a summary.
Recording going into the microphone or
doing a summary or doing verbatim?
Oh, summary's good enough.
Well, we should...
I was an attorney for a rent control board. My recollection, which Pat Roberts, is that you're not supposed to put it all in there what people say.
Right.
You're not supposed to, and this is the very reason. You put the motions, the wording of the motions, the decisions, who voted what, and then these people spoke. But I think that we could look at Roberts, who he did adopt them, and that would avoid this whole problem.
I don't usually agree with Maureen, but I do today. She's correct.
It is.
Wow.
That's like a thing. It's a summary.
I usually don't agree with Maureen, but I do today. He's correct.
Well, wait, Bert agrees with her a few meetings ago.
There we go.
By the way, I wasn't suggesting that every meeting should be done verbatim.
No, just the one you care about the most.
That's uncalled for. That's not true. It's the ones that are important, I think, that need to be part of the public record, that may go to COA or some other agency. And there needs to be an accurate representation of
Okay, wait. It's a public portion. Anyone can hear an accurate representation if they listen to the minutes. If they listen to the recording of the meeting, the minutes are a summary.
They have to be
Yeah, we do. If anyone can listen to the recording, it's very simple. From your home computer, you can listen to the minutes. Listen to the meeting, and you'll hear every word.
I listened to the one when you had the presenter the first time around back in June of 2023.
Right, because you
look
for it.
Yeah. Audio.
Right.
Listening to it.
Right. Yeah, it's easy to listen to. All right. Tabled for now. I'm going to go to correspondence. Okay. We have an email from Hillary Wilder, dated November 2nd, 2024, regarding wildfire management actions for sustainable Jersey points. And then, unfortunately, we have the resignation received from Kim Coifo, dated November 12, 2024, effective November 26, 2024. Kim, as you may remember, is our administrative assistant. She's worked for us for about 4 years now, maybe a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Kim, in all honesty, she's a grandmother now, and she wants to spend a lot more time with her daughter and granddaughter. I don't think they don't live far, but they don't live close.
Granddaughter,
yeah. But I don't think they're not too far, but they're not close by. Kim's been a huge help to us. Just absolute huge help. She and Anna together have just gotten so much information saved to the server, the filing. Plus she deals with the public. She answers the phone. I mean, she's only here once a week and more if we needed her. But she's been a huge, huge help, and I'm very sad to see her go. Plus, she's just a nice person. Anna insists that everything she needed accomplished by having Kim there has been accomplished, and she just does not see a need for it. And I pushed a little bit because, you know, I think we all know Anna is overworked and does about God knows how many jobs that really aren't hers to do. She just takes care of everything. And I pushed and pushed, and I kept saying, are you sure? Are you sure? You know, another once a week, something. Like, don't you need? And she said, no, everything is really good. I don't need anyone. So we don't need anyone. She would know. And so I'll miss Kim. I think we all will. She's a very nice person and did a good job. And good luck to her with her granddaughter. Yeah, she's great. So, and so if anyone wants to come in tomorrow or next Tuesday, they'll be her two last days. You want to say goodbye to her. All right, we come to the consent agenda resolutions. We have resolution 24-115, payment of bills, November 18th, 2024. Resolution 24-116, 2025 software support and license agreement with Edmunds GovTech. Resolution 24-117, a resolution supporting improvements along County Route 571, which is Rising Sun Tavern Road / Rochdale Avenue in the Township of Millstone and Borough of Roosevelt. Resolution 24-118, resolution authorizing return of escrow funds for 1 North Rochdale Avenue, Block 9, Lot 21, to Sunil V. Patel. Resolution 24-119, resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt waiving September and October's water sewer billing for 5 and 6 Cedar Court. And finally, resolution 24-120, a resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt rejecting all bids and authorizing the re-advertisement of a solicitation for bids for the provision of certain chemicals to the borough's water and sewer utilities. Do I have a motion?
I have a motion.
Do I have a second?
Okay.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes.
Okay.
What is the 24-118? Isn't that the store?
Yes, and what happened was he posted escrow because it, in consideration of applying, you know, filling out an application to open the store. And then he changed his mind.
Withdrew
it. Right. Better way to phrase it.
Thank you.
Yes.
I had questions, and I don't know exactly how to go about this, with the billing list.
Mm-hmm.
The Waters and Bugbee Incorporated bill, and that was for the emergency break of 1820. And the cost was $36,000 to repair that. And my specific question, and I read all the threads on it, so I understand what was going on and what our engineer's comments were on it and all. But from a legal perspective, was there a contract that we were bound to for a certain...
Is it an emergency contract?
Yeah. That was an emergency.
We do an emergency contractor bid, and they give us rates that they charge us.
That they
yeah, those are bid rates.
And we agree to those rates, and that's what they charge us, including the overtime, which was
yes,
like $150 an hour for some of the overtime.
Well, that's a trick on emergency contracts is someone's got to be watching what they're doing.
Okay.
So you can charge by the hour, but if it's one guy with a shovel versus, like, you know, four guys with shovels. You know what I mean?
Well, and also...
It's always tricky in these small towns to get someone out there to look at it, like, especially the engineer. I don't know if Carmela was out there that... I'm sure she checked the work or what have you, but...
Don't we usually
have bill high? What
a borough employee out there?
We should have somebody out there making sure to, like, if they're charging us for a backhoe, there's a backhoe there. In a small town where there's not a DPW director, right? Because that's the person who goes out in almost every town I work for. It's tough. I mean, I don't, you know.
We had Mike Lyons. fella.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're the operator out there. Yeah,
yes, perfect. Yeah. So it was being watched.
Okay. Yeah, and other than that, yeah, I mean, they're good rates as long as they know. How much is the bill?
$36,000.
Yeah, $36,000.
Wrong business, man.
And I do know that Anna called and tried to work her charm, which usually works, to try to get them to lower it somewhat, and they flatly refused.
Yeah, I read the thread on
it. So did Cameron. I mean, it's
right.
If you read the email thread, then yes, yes.
Yeah, there's so many things wrong about that, but we're legally obligated to pay because of the contract.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, it would be very difficult to dispute if, you know, that's what they used, that's what we agreed to pay.
So these guys came out with small little shovels and did all that work and spent all of those hours.
So I have to tell you that in Allentown, Carmella called a particular contractor, you know, taking their time getting out there, or, you know, was just not happy with the pace and the billings, just what we're talking about. It was just mismatched. It wasn't fraud or anything. It was just what, you're not really working the way we want you to. So they just don't get called from the emergency contract anymore. The other company gets it that's on there because they hustle out there and she feels that they're, I wish I could give you an exact science, but it's really the person out there looking with it is satisfied with it. So if Mike's happy, then hard to argue the 36. If he's not, then we can advertise, we can expand the pool, we can use different people. But once the water's coming out of the ground, you can see we're kind of stuck.
And nobody will give you a price based on the job. They'll give you a price based on...
Not when you want to call us during the middle of the night, no.
Because they know what they're going to run into.
Right.
Okay.
Right. The only solution is replacing all the pipes as we keep going, and then you should be good for about 65 years, maybe. Let's see if we can do that.
That's a better way of looking at it.
Kids can worry about it.
All right, 36,000.
That's tough, but the key is having people watch them, you know.
Yeah.
There was one in Allentown that was, you know, didn't feel we were being billed fairly, and so they just were removed from the list, and we rebid it and called the other people. Yeah, that's really the recourse to it. And then they're not silly. Like, they know what's up. And then all of a sudden, you know, the next time, oh, why am I going to call? Oh, we have new rates? And, you know, they sell their services.
Yeah.
But that's how you get people to sharpen their pencil. You let them know that you have other options and that you're willing to call them.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. And then when you find the person, like there's this guy, Wozcheck, who does a lot of workarounds. So like in Red Bank, you know, they just call Hanky's Fair with them. They have, you know, he qualifies every time on their list. And he gets almost every job because they just know that he's local, quick, fair billing. Takes care of them, and you know the DPW director's like, call it. You know, he's on the list. He's qualified. Call that guy because I know that I'm going to get, you know, quick service and a fair bill.
If you know vendors like that, could you share them with us?
Yeah, I mean, out here is tougher, obviously, but yeah. I mean, Carmella is very good at. That's one of the really good things about Carmella's firm and only engineering firm. Like, she knows this is a small town, so.
And she's local.
Yeah, and she's usually on it. I mean, Allentown has this stuff. They don't have the same program that you guys have replacing all these pipes because they had to buy a new water plant first or a new treatment plant first. And so, you know, she's, you know, I know that when they start to pile up, like if that happens two or three times in a year, then she'll be out there the next time because she knows that she has to do that in Allentown.
Okay.
That's what I know about it.
That was the only question I had.
Any other discussion? Okay, do I... roll call.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Ms. Kaufman-Larue?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay. Consent agenda has been adopted. Come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Esikoff, administration. Okay. Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
We haven't had a meeting, but from what I see, our new CFO is doing a good job. I read the inventory that's required by the state, in which they give the points they allocate to different things, the best practices inventory. It looks like that's completed, and it looks like we're not going to be docked any money for failure to meet all the requirements or as many requirements as they require to get full funding. So
actually, it's not looks like it has been. It's you know, we're not losing any state funds. Our best practices.
Yeah, it was like a 43.5,
high enough score,
which
right.
is well above
right.
the level that we need to be at.
Right.
And I understand that everything's going well in terms of the transition so far, unless I hear otherwise. So I'm glad. No report other than that.
Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development.
Two things to report. One is the Roosevelt Senior Group. On November 6th, had a trip to the Hindu temple in Robbinsville.
What was that?
Can I,
Hindu temple.
Can I ask a question? Have you ever been there before?
No, just never.
Were you shocked?
Oh, absolutely. Fabulous. Yes.
It's pretty shocking.
It is. Yes.
In our backyard, practically.
I know. Yeah, we had over 15. I don't know the exact number in attendance. I think it's closer to 20. And 15 is the amount we can have a formal tour of the grounds and the architecture, which is lovely. This is one of six temples in North America, and this is the largest. And they're all built the same way. And what's amazing is that there's no steel reinforcing rods. It's the way they're put together. It just is pretty.
I think it's the largest in the world, not just North America.
What in India is bigger?
Oh, because last time I was there, the man I was speaking to there said this is the largest in the world, but maybe he was wrong.
Yeah. It means that North America wanted to be yeah. All right. Some could not come that really wanted to and have expressed interest, and so the group is planning another visit to the site. We just don't have a date yet. It's determined. Of course, we had lunch there in their temple cafe, which was lovely as well. So the December 3rd meeting will be held at the Borough Hall. We've had several months where we've been talking about other places. This one will be a holiday potluck here on the 3rd. The second issue is regarding the amphitheater, you know, project. And you know, there has been lots of discussion around repairing or reconstruction of the amphitheater. So that we thought it may be helpful to explore, to find foundational support, and address the vertical cracks in the brick walls so that we can all agree on the fundamental decision on repair versus reconstruction. And I think that this action would clarify the debate about whether a repair is feasible. So what we would like to request is that, so it isn't just Dave Stittler who's looking and coming back and saying that we have requested one of our public works employees to help in the exploratory investigation with Dave there as well as Gail before any plans are revised. We've already agreed to eliminate the previously recommended bluestone cap. So now it's trying to, you know, see what's possible, you know, here, to repair versus reconstruction. So we estimate that exploration would take roughly 2 to 3 hours and would be done with Dave and Gail in attendance at a conveniently decided on date. So I would just like to hear feedback, you know, from the council on that proposal.
Don't you think it would behoove you to hire a completely neutral person to investigate rather than Dave, who has a vested interest in, and Gail on the amphitheater committee, someone completely neutral who has...
You're asking for someone completely
neutral. No, you're just asking for the public works person to go with...
Isn't that person neutral?
No, a neutral firm, a neutral engineer, a neutral, like, not Dave, Stittler, and Gail.
We're looking to find out what is under this that we haven't been able to take out, you know, and take a look. So if we want to go that route, the next thing, because I don't know if the council wants to pay for that.
That's my suggestion, is someone completely neutral.
Okay.
and everyone else can say how they feel.
I think it makes sense to actually get eyes on and take a look under there on various spots to see, you know, can that section actually maybe just be refurbished rather than reconstructed if it's not too much damage underneath. And that would certainly save money in the project, and it would meet some of the COA, not COA, I'm sorry, Chabot, yeah. Too many abbreviations. But anyhow, it might help address some of those. And I think we need to keep an open mind about what is actually there. What do we run into? What can we see? So I like the idea of actually opening it up and taking a look and having a public works person or somebody there to look down in there and see what we see.
Isn't Carmela's engineering group someone that does that?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. And she knows Roosevelt better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it behooves us to.
I think so too, because if we're worried about safety, regardless of what happens in a referendum, if we're worried about public safety with people using that amphitheater in its current state, we should know what the actual structural conditions are there so that we can...
What we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Well, she knows that.
Okay.
She knows that.
Okay.
She should be aware of that.
Okay.
One of the things that I'd like to see them do while they're out there, just so we know, nobody's been able to tell us what the real structure is. We're losing a lot of brick off one of the steps, so... It's an opportunity to take a hammer, a chisel, and chip away the mortar and see how the wall itself was constructed. So just suggesting something to put on your list, because, you know, if it's entirely masonry masonry brick, it's one animal. If it's a brick veneer on a, you know, on a cinder block wall, it's another animal. So I think we have an opportunity to do that without destroying anything that isn't already destroyed. So,
you know,
Bert Ellen help with
that? Oh, she's doing it.
He would know.
For all the years.
Plan should be with the county, too.
What?
He doesn't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. The plans
are with the county. He's excused for not remembering.
When it was built. I know I'm out of order.
But you were here.
I was 11.
But once we sections are taken out to look down in there, don't we need to then re-repair it again for the time being? And
well, in the area, we're losing the bricks off the top already. So there's about a 10-foot section that we've lost bricks on out there. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if it's been done, but I asked, and I was supposed to send a picture over to Anna, and I didn't. On the steps, we're losing some bricks off the step area where people walk up and down, and I'm worried with the leaves, maybe we should do some kind of temporary repair, just throw some quickcrete in there to level it off so nobody catches a toe in it and takes it fall.
Or do you think we should just cordon it off and not let it be used for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could do that, but I think just as easily just
okay,
throw
yeah.
some concrete mm-hmm. in a hole and call it good.
Yeah. Okay.
But we are losing a lot of bricks, so it wouldn't, you know, for us to repair those bricks, we have to chip out that mortar anyhow, so why not chip it out and get a look at what the structure is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do we have a general consensus to hire Carmela, Roberts Engineering, to come and do the investigation?
I would do a motion and a roll call vote.
Okay.
To review the general condition of the thing.
Yeah.
Well, and also repair versus replace versus...
The motion here is to ask Carmela for a proposal, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Find out what the cost is.
The motion here is to ask Carmela for a proposal. Carmela provides the proposal. get CFO to certify the funds, then we approve it December 2nd.
Okay.
We don't know how much Carmella costs to get it.
So, in other words, we're going to ask, the first step is to ask Carmella for a proposal to do this work.
That's what I mean.
Right, see what it costs, see what she, you know, if she's willing to do it. Right. So do I have a motion to submit a proposal to Roberts Engineering?
Excuse
me. I'd like to have Steve Settler and
Gail there when it's even done. Okay. And that be part of the proposal. No.
Why do you want them there?
You want to, if you approve this, if we ask her to, would she mind if they were attending? That's all.
Yeah, we could do that.
Carmella doesn't care.
The person who is going to be doing the plan.
Carmella doesn't care.
It is going to be a repair. It is going to be Dave Settler because we're paying him for doing that.
All right.
And to cut him out of it.
I didn't say you cut him out.
When
no, you need the project engineer. Carmella doesn't care. Yeah. It's just a matter of coordination.
No. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay. That's all I'm asking.
That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I'd ask Carmella to get in touch with him and find a date to do it, that's all. And the proposal that we're going to ask her to write up, does it involve a few sample sections in different parts where we open it up and take the brick out, or are we just focusing on one or two particular parts?
Well, there are a couple parts that they already looked at. They would like to have it explored
okay.
to see what it looks like. So I can send you over something that so that you can send it to Carmella.
Yeah, I think Carmella would call Dave and ask him.
We would like.
Yeah.
Carmella's charge here is to come in as the borough engineer and neutral arbiter to tell you what needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
That's the idea?
Yeah.
She's not going to care who's there or who isn't.
Okay.
It's just a matter of coordination and just explain to her what her charge is. And she'll probably ask Dave what kind of opinion he wants or needs or.
Okay.
What question are you looking to be answered to move forward, really, is what she's going to ask Dave, I'd imagine.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, do I have a motion to send a proposal to Roberts Engineering?
Request for a proposal from.
Right.
I got one. Lou.
Second.
I'll second.
Mr. Eckhoff.
I was in my indentations on the floor.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Mr. Strunk.
Yes.
Ms. Kaufman-Larue.
Yes.
And Mr. Moffitt.
Yes.
Okay, so you'll send me something?
Your request for a proposal.
I will.
Yeah, okay. Include Hannah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not back in until Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And me as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we? Oh. Okay, Council Member Kaufman Root.
Nothing at this time. I'm going to try my best to be, I will make the Wednesday meeting that Ellen had talked about. I might be a little late because I have parent-teacher conferences for my son, but that upcoming meeting this week, for the
Roberts Engineering won't be able to be there because
oh,
it's the League of Municipalities.
Oh, okay.
It was not a great week to have this particular, you know, the watershed people there and everything because Roberts Engineering won't be there. I won't be there, and a few others, but it is still being held, and the watershed people will be here, so I'm sure, you know. Council Member Mocker, Public Works.
I think we're good.
And Council Member Trammell is absent tonight. Reports of borough officials. Anything, Mr. Tipton?
I just wanted to say something later.
In public
work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, old business, if anyone's listening right now, it's too late for this. Our free mobile health clinic is tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And by the way, our rabies clinic that we held recently, we had a record number of animals come for rabies shots, most we've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is really good.
Peggy, did you say from 10 to 1 tomorrow?
Yeah, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. They're going, no COVID, but flu shots, diabetes, testing, screening, something else too.
Blood pressure.
Yeah, blood pressure, thank you. Yeah.
Pregnancy tests?
I'll ask for a special dispensation so you could have one.
You're
known
for
a
test, right?
I just wanted to cover all these. Yeah. Oh, where are we? Okay, now we are up to the petition discussing the discussion regarding the petition received under the New Jersey local bond law. Basically, we have to choose. We have two choices. We can choose a date for a special election to be held for referendum regarding the petition, or if the council does not choose a date, it's automatically held in November at the next general election, which is November of 25. So I would imagine no one wants to wait that long, because then that will, you know, almost surely kind of negate the grant. There wouldn't be enough time. So
do you think it would be okay to wait until we have Carnella and we take a look at what we think is needed?
No, the bond, the petition was certified.
Yes.
And there has to be an election now. That's what the...
Is there a tie?
No, I don't think I have an election. I'm just saying...
Next general election, if something else happens.
If you don't choose a date, it holds off to...
Yeah, but...
No.
I mean, in terms of the time frame, we have
to pick a date.
Tonight.
Oh, tonight. No. Yeah. No. No.
Yeah. No. It's going to be automatically... As of now, it's the general election. The resolution with the question, the interpretive statement, would have to be passed before 74, 84 days. We can look in the brochure. It's like August. So
to get on the general election, yeah.
Right.
But for them, if they want a special election in March or April for this,
to really decide in December, because you have to run all the notices and everything, and
So
the timeline, it's about probably about 84 days, right?
Yeah, it's the same mm-hmm. requirements that they have during the regular election, where the Board of Elections has to send out sample ballots for all the same procedures.
60 days prior to the election, 50, and then mail-in
right.
ballots. Yeah,
right.
You have to start at least two. I don't know what the exact number of days, but it's like 2 or 3 months in advance to hold a proper election.
Yeah.
So like if you wait till March, then or April or May, what difference does it make anyway? You're just having a general. You're going to have. There's a special election rule.
If it's a municipal election, you guys are going to pay out of pocket.
Yeah,
if it's on the general election.
Right.
If you're going to have a special election, you should really decide when it's going to be next month.
Okay.
At a meeting next month.
So we have two meetings.
Well,
Because to run the election is going to take like 90 days, right? So if you wait until March, well, number one, you're not allowed to hold a special election within a certain time period of the general election.
Right.
So I don't know what that date is off the top of my head, but at some point in the middle of next year, it's not going to matter anyway, because you're not going to be able to hold the election in time. It's going to be too close to the general.
That means
that's
like May.
Yeah.
Probably the latest.
To have an effective special election, you should really decide next month. You don't have to. It's just going to be the general election at some point.
I
don't
like that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, we have a little bit more time before we have to set the actual date, as long as we meet those guidelines.
You know what Greg is saying? You don't have much more time past next month.
If you don't set the election within 60 days, and you spend $20,000 to have a special election when? In the middle of the summer? Or then you're going to be prohibited because it's too close to the general election. So if you don't like to have, like, you know, from a public policy standpoint, the longer you wait, the bigger waste of money it is to have a special election. Right? Well, in the summertime, no one's going to show up. No one shows up to summertime elections. There's no elections held in the summertime for anything, right? Two, once you get too close to the general election, you're not going to be allowed to have it because it's too close to the general election. So you should consider the summer and the fall essentially not
off-limits.
Relevant. To have an election in the summertime, you'd have to pass the resolution by March to set up an election for 90 days, right?
Okay.
Or March, April, May. So now we're down to December, January, February. So you basically have 90 days to...
Okay, so if we said by March, we
said
date.
No,
yeah, well, the election would be in June. Is close to the primary election and when school lets out. I mean, school districts and fire districts have their elections in February and April and then there's spring, there's May municipal elections, right? All the elections are done after the primary in June. So in order to have an election that's, you know, trying to get everyone involved, or, you know, that's always the goal.
Why does it have to be, when you say that there's a school election, there's a municipal election, what's the latest date we could have?
But the general election.
Or to figure out a date? What's your question?
A special election if we're not waiting until November.
Greg feels it's next month.
December,
set a date.
December or January.
Set a date, right.
Let's say you pass them.
March or April. Yeah, March or April, because there's statutory guidelines.
You not to actually have the special election, just to pick the date for the special
election. Correct.
Right, exactly. Right.
But
you have
if you don't pick it,
you have to also come up with an interpretive statement. What's the question on that?
We also need to look at the borough schedule, the schedule for when Borough Hall has been used and all of that, and make sure that that the day before it's not being used for a function and the day after and all that.
Well, the election would take precedence, so.
Right.
I have the timelines of the ones we did, the two of them we did in 2017.
Well, it was
March
17th. When it was done, right? But I'm not sure when the date was chosen. It was March 14th, but then we had a snowstorm, so it was held off till the 28th.
Okay.
But we chose the date, what, in December?
I believe you chose it in December. Yeah.
That's why it's
January 3rd.
January. There you go. So January 3rd.
For the March one, for the April one. February
9th. So I guess it's more like 60 days instead of 90 days. So you have a little bit more time.
Okay. I still think that at December's meeting, whether it's the first or second, we should choose when we want to have the referendum.
I think we should do it as soon as we can.
When is your rationale?
No, not even. No, just because there's so much to get in place. So even if we choose April, we should choose it next month.
We have to do it as soon as possible.
Yeah, something, there's so much to put in place. I'm not saying to hold it off too long or hold it too soon. I'm saying we need to pick a date. Let's choose a date. And then even if the date is April, let's decide in December or January when we want it to be, because we need to set aside a good amount of time to prepare.
Okay, I'm just saying. Schedule the latest that you can.
Why?
January 5th. Because there's more information that will be coming in.
Right.
And there would have to be other plans that are submitted. You know, it will just give us a little bit more time for people to understand what's happening in the environment to repair versus reconstruction. That's all.
Okay.
Do you think they will come in, like, within the next month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months?
Do I think so?
Yes.
Well, until we get them the information, they don't have to look at it for 30 days. Anytime they change.
My experience with SHPO is they take their damn time.
Yeah, I mean, should you wait till the general election and not even...
I don't know about that. We'll have to see how it goes.
I'm just saying we have to make the decision right now.
Right now, it's kind of like really today. Set for the general election until you guys pick a date.
Okay.
And is that too late for the grant, though?
No, we may have to try and do
something else. Okay. I'll put these aside and you guys will let me know.
Other discussion regarding the petition?
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Do you guys always have any money for this thing?
If it's the general election, no. If it's a special election, yes.
No, I'm talking about the project itself. Are we spending money now on the project?
The council is not, unless we're doing this. What we just agreed to have Carmella do something.
Okay.
Otherwise, no, the council, we have not spent any money. We can't touch the money now anyway, with the bond in place, but with the petition. But
we're only spending money in the meantime.
We're only spending fund for Roosevelt money.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
I have a comment and a concern about the referendum petition. I filed an open request. I have a copy of it. I reviewed it. The first signature that struck me was that of Greg Defoe, who signed it. He does not live in town. He's not lived in Roosevelt for several years. His son lives in his house here. And
it was the son that signed it. He wanted to sign it. It's the son.
I think Scott is Gregory Scott. His first name is Greg, not Scotty. Well, Scott is his real name. That's my fault, because I always call him Scotty. Well, no, he does go by Scotty because they're both Greg. I verified everything. He's Gregory Scott. Yeah, that's what I mean. It kind of surprised me. I thought, was this not, you know...
I don't appreciate being accused of what you're doing when it's wrong. I admitted it was wrong. Okay.
Please don't accuse unless you verify first. I didn't accuse you. I was talking about the petition.
My name's on it.
I looked at the petition.
Okay, let's move on.
And I saw Greg Defoe, so I have a right to comment on it.
Okay, let's move on.
Respond.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, not from me.
Oh, okay. So you just reviewed the petition?
Yeah, I reviewed it and had a question about it. And I asked the question and responded to it. Yeah.
All right, new business. best practice we touched on earlier. Our new CFO completed it. Scott Frew. And as I said, we received a high enough score that there's no state funds will be withheld from us. Next, we have the planning board request for an extension of the 35-day deadline to review and comment on the amphitheater site plan. So what this is because the site plan was only sent out the day before. People only had an opportunity to view it the day before the planning board meeting, and that's not sufficient enough time. So our attorney, Michelle Donato, advised the planning board to request an extension so that both the planning board members and the public can review and comment on the site plan. It's already in place where it is available here for anyone who wishes to come into the borough hall and be able to view the plans in person. So what the council needs to do is vote to permit to extend the deadline till January.
So you know that if anything comes up from this repair and reconstruction.
Listen, Connie, don't even go there, because I've been over this 100 times with Michelle. None of that matters.
Okay.
She was very upset with us because this should have been sent to the planning board the moment we received the grant. She's quite perturbed.
So what you're looking at here.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
They need to look at it. It could be changed, amended. Believe me, I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had. None of that matters. It's a capital project. It should have gone to the planning board 2 years ago. It didn't. It doesn't matter.
I don't necessarily agree with that analysis, but I would defer to Michelle.
Okay, well, that is, believe me, she was
It's an advisory review by your land use board.
I know, but she
and
was...
And Carmella says that you can stop capital... Excuse me. Michelle says that you can stop capital projects in the borough if they don't go through that review, which has happened in places that have significant other municipal land use regulations for historic districts, not necessarily an amphitheater on the school grounds. But Michelle and I will agree to disagree, and I will oblige your land use attorney. However, as your municipal attorney, I don't necessarily agree that your land use board has that much power over your capital project.
Well, she did. She said quite a few times, it's only advisory. It's only advisory. However,
that's the part I would underline.
Yeah, only advisory. However, she was not, I'll use the word, contented with the fact that this is coming before the planning board so late.
It's a legit process.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how much, little, or nothing it's changed. It needs to be done now.
But when's the next meeting then?
Probably January.
it hasn't. You haven't started the review process.
Yeah, it's no, it's in the Borough Hall, and people.
But the process hasn't been started by the planning.
Oh no, because we're giving the public and the members an opportunity to come into the Borough Hall and look at it.
So 35 days started now.
We'll start to.
It started when we passed a resolution more than 35 days ago to refer it to them when Michelle brought
this
up the first time.
That's why she's asking for an extension.
Do they have 35 days? You can ignore them and move forward. And they haven't
okay.
So reviewed it, so they're asking for an extension.
Yeah.
We're not moving forward with it anyway, so I mean, it's not. It's a distinction without a difference.
So when do you want it? Do you have to give a time, date? By February
24th
meeting? The last
planning
board meeting was
last week.
There's none in December, then give them 60 days. That's January 18th. That gives them the whole first half of January.
Wait, so let's see. January? Let's see what the third.
You need a calendar?
I need a
third Tuesday in January? When's the third Tuesday in January?
Third Tuesday in January is the 21st.
Okay, and then when is the second council meeting in January?
You mean 24th.
We don't have one. You want to do the second?
Monday. Second Monday. No, the third Monday.
20.
So, if... Okay, so the next planning board meeting is the day after the council meeting.
21st.
Right.
Do you guys have council meetings on Martin Luther King?
No, we don't.
Okay, because that's the 20th.
Yeah, so we figure out the new 25 calendar in January, or is it in December? We have to, when do you think we would have?
The 6th is the first.
Our reorg is the 6th.
Right. So then, yeah. But
and then if Martin Luther King is the 20th, then we should go to the 21st.
But that's planning board meeting night. How about Thursday the 23rd?
Well, we'll have to figure.
Yeah. Our meetings are first and third Mondays. And the planning board is third Tuesday.
So when is our reorganization meeting?
Oh, six.
Yeah.
Famous day.
Am I correct in assuming that this process would only take one meeting? I think I seem to vaguely recall something like this from one time, and I think it was one meeting. Is it a one meeting kind of thing? Generally,
should be.
Should be pretty quick, right? Okay.
Yeah.
The purpose of the review is to ensure that the amphitheater plans comport with our master plan. That's all that's done, or that's the only thing. That's what it has to do. It has to match the master plan. So yeah, it should only take one meeting for the council, for the planning board to decide whether it does or not. So
if we're giving them a 60 days, is it 60 days from tonight or 60 days from November?
Let's just make it January 24th. So they have till Friday to give you the report.
Okay.
After the meeting.
What are we doing now?
Giving an extension to the planning board for them to give them enough time to review the site plan for the amphitheater.
And the date is January 24th, 2025.
Five.
Oof. So, do I have a motion to extend that to January 24th, 25? Okay, roll call, Mr. Escobar.
For the extension.
What?
Roll call.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain.
Ms. Hirschstrom?
Yes.
Ms. Kaufman Marut?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll relay that to the planning board.
Okay,
third item of new business is curb stops on Tamara Drive. So if you all read your emails and kept in the loop.
Also, I have Joe. He's not here.
I'll discuss it first, and then I can read it. So, did you all read your emails about the curb stops?
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, John Holden was, trying to think of a word to use, disappointed that all the curb stops weren't being replaced. And he didn't understand why. I can tell you in a minute. Okay. So basically the goal originally for this project was to replace all the cast iron leadite water mains because there were a number of breaks over the years. But the past water main contracts, the curb stops were included, but on past projects, I don't even know, I scribbled here so much. They did do some curb stops on past projects, but meant not all, because many of them were in perfectly good condition despite their age. They still operated and they were fine. The construction budget for this contract increased a number of times due to the pandemic and the scope of the sewer improvements. So at that time, in order to keep the costs low, and based on the prior conditions, which were pretty good, Roberts Engineering made the decision to reduce the scope of the project and the curb stops to reduce the cost. Okay, the contract still includes curb stops at specific locations and a couple extras just in case more were needed. But Roberts Engineering was not aware that five of them were actually recently replaced. So if we want to replace every curb stop, it will be an additional $27,000, but that is eligible for an iBank loan, for loan forgiveness. So in a nutshell, if we want to replace, which is what John Holden wants, if we want to replace all the curb stops, there'll be an extra $27,000, and as I said, iBank, we can get a loan from the iBank.
You have to do what?
And we can get a loan from the iBank, loan forgiveness from the iBank. Well, I'll read you Joe's letter since he's not here, and then. Okay. The existing curb stops are, well, he is 90 years old, but they're close to 90 years old.
As is the shut-off valves?
Yeah, it's a valve that goes from the street to the.
Those brown shut-off valves.
Yeah. So they're almost 90 years old, as is the water main, and are mechanical in nature. As a matter of preventative maintenance, as we did on the Pine Drive Phase 1 project, I believe we should replace all the curb stops on the Tamara Drive project. Respectfully submitted, Joe Trammell. So, as I said, Carmela had in there to replace certain specific ones with a couple spares. John Holden would like them all replaced. Joe agrees, so it's up to the five of you, if you agree also to replace all of them for $27,000.
Each?
No, total.
Total?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God, each.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No. Total? I believe total.
Yeah, the cost would be approximately $27,000 and would be eligible
right.
for loan forgiveness.
Right, total. 27 total.
What does this mean, eligible?
With the iBank, you can apply for water improvement, and sometimes they will forgive a portion of the loan, the actual principal. Sometimes it'll be, 50%, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, it depends.
And
not
so
never for sewer, only water.
Yeah. They don't do sewer.
Excuse me.
I don't know why they don't do sewer, but...
Too yucky. So, do we need a resolution, Craig?
Yeah, it's kind of money. Okay.
Yeah, because it's money, of course.
For the curb stops?
Well,
they're spending an additional $27,000.
You guys can pass do a motion, but it'll be more formally presented as a change order, I believe, from
right,
Carmen.
Through Pam.
Yeah, you guys can do like a motion here to have your approval for that, but Cameron already worked it out where I don't think it was an enormous change in the contract price,
right.
as I recall, and so it'll become in the change order for formal.
So these
approval.
Are curb stops for the ones that are non-functional? Or all of life.
There's been a bunch on the... I'll just give you that. Sorry. I was on the emails, too. Long story short, there's a number on the street that have been replaced because they were broken. Excuse me. John would like them all replaced.
Okay.
My understanding is that Cameron figured out a way, basically inventoried them all,
okay.
and figured out a way to replace the rest of them that haven't already been replaced within the contract. Is that fair? Yeah.
Okay.
So I think John is going to get all of them replaced, which is what he wanted.
Okay.
And Cameron had some sort of allowance to figure it out, but I think there's a few that are not. I want to say there's a few that are not being done. I don't think there's all of them.
Five that have been recently done.
Recently,
yeah.
Okay,
there you go. Mm-hmm.
They have a count of how many. Where's my, let me see, this is all the thread.
Yeah, I saw
because John was concerned about not being able to shut it off, and Cameron basically figured out how to get what John wanted without it being like in a significant change because they saved money on something else.
We had a water main break there.
Was it in here?
Many years ago, near the triangle.
Oh, I brought the...
Well, there's a water main break in July.
We could get those valves to open up.
Yeah, and Sean told them which ones have been changed.
Right,
13, 18,
20, 30.
Some are inoperable, others are buried.
Those are the ones, yeah.
Yeah, I think... John,
no, this email chain cuts off at the when it was going to be sent here, but there's a subsequent one. I'll tell you what it is.
They were down in there, and it was like bleeding.
He's not doing the whole job. He's not doing the
Tamara. 30 properties in like five a handful.
And it's part of the road project, essentially, which is not going to be done until next year.
Yes, did you get that email too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a quick question actually about that thing that it was going to be not till, I guess, the spring.
That's when we should.
Is there a way to get whatever is there, like the rubble? I was asked by someone, like, will there be like a push away or sweet sweeper for like rubble that's like left behind from what work was done? Because it's more on the sides, whereas like people have been walking more in the middle of the road because the sides have a lot of debris and rubble and whatnot.
Don't know.
Like who
well, I mean,
that would be an extra. That would be
the
job
is to clean up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
and
what?
They should be doing it periodically.
Yeah, they should do it.
So
when, but like, isn't the job sort of like on hold? Like, is any
but not that kind of thing.
Yeah, they have one.
Don't sweep the road.
Yeah, clean up.
Sweep the road.
Yeah, clean up. We can tell them to clean up.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah, they're obligated to maintain the road in safe condition.
Okay.
Yeah. Here it is. Cameron wrote on last Friday. 3 days ago. Anna, we just finished reviewing the most recent invoice by the contractor with some change order items. The payment recommendations anticipated to next week will include a $0 change order. The contract includes $20,000 allowance, which we can use to keep this change order down to a net zero. This change order will not include curb valves and boxes, so just the
natural wheels.
Yeah, when it just stops.
Yeah.
That being said, it looks like we have about $40,000 worth of related credits that could be used to offset the $27,000 cost associated with added curb valves. The $40,000 credits are associated with pay item 28, 6-inch insertion valves. We added two to the contract if and where directed, just in case there were issues tying the new main into the old. We do not have to use these two valves. At this point, it looks like the bond ordinance is not. So you basically have the money to pay.
Okay. It's in the bond
ordinance. It's in the bond ordinance.
Okay, great.
Functionally. It's basically stuff that you didn't use in the contract that they can reallocate to this stuff as now needed.
Okay. So, do we just do a change? We don't need to do a vote because it's a change?
I would vote to approve the... Proceeding with the work, and then it'll be formally presented here as a change order to actually amend the contract and pay them.
Okay.
But we should let Cameron know and Anna give them direction on what you guys want to do to make it happen.
Okay.
So a motion to include curb stops on the NJDOT project for Tamara Drive.
Sounds good to me. I'll make that motion.
Second?
Okay.
I think it's a time. Okay, Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hirschstrom?
Yes.
Ms. Kaufman-Marud?
Yes.
And Mr. Marker?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll let
Mr. Cameron know.
Right.
Cameron,
All right. Does anyone mind if we skip Good and Welfare tonight? Kathleen has to drive to Atlantic City when this meeting's over. Yeah.
I think that's good enough for Good and Welfare.
I think so. It's good for Kathleen and the rest of us. Okay, I'm going to open the floor for public comment at 8:39 p.m. Mr. Public.
Section 37 North Valley Road. Okay, first of all, just a minor point about what I said before about the Rising Sun Tavern Road, Rushdale Avenue, and Jay Clarksburg Road also, since both of the 571 includes both the Clarksburg Road segment and the Rushdale Avenue segment, so both of those should be written in such a way that both of those are.
Well, that did come from the county, so.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Corrected, whatever.
Okay, Rushdale Avenue, and then where are you saying?
Clarksburg Road.
Down here.
Rushdale Avenue.
Clarksburg Road. 17. To the Rising Sun Tower, which is in Millstone. Okay, now the main thing I wanted to talk about. I went to a meeting. I was in a meeting this past week about affordable housing issues. One of the things that was mentioned was that I knew this already, was Roosevelt has an affordable housing obligation of 20 units under the fourth round. Okay, and we're going to have to respond to that don't feel the 20 units is appropriate. We have to file something by January.
This coming January?
Yes, in January.
And 20 more?
That's
in addition to solar
units,
village,
yes.
Yeah.
In addition to 20 units, right. What I want to suggest... I'm sorry?
Without a vacant land adjustment, it's more complicated than that.
But that's right, it's more complicated. One thing I would suggest that you might want to think about is that if we were to say that up to 20 houses could put an additional unit on. If we allowed additional units to be put onto existing houses.
Like a mother-daughter kind of?
A mother-daughter. But
no.
But it would have to be...
Accessory dwelling.
It would have to be in such a way that it would have to be handled... It would have to be handled through it's not COA anymore, but through a DCA-supervised unit, plan that would be... So it would basically have to be available for rental to anybody, to any person. It wouldn't be something that could be only a mother-daughter. But it's something, perhaps we can consider. If we have to do 20 units, then this is perhaps one way we could do it. Because the alternative is that if we wait for the builder's remedy, they're entitled to five times the number of units. Mm-hmm. So there could be like 100 units, which is far more than 20 units.
Yeah.
How many
are in Solar Village?
Well, Solar Village has 21 units.
You have zero affordable housing units in town. They're deed restricted.
Well, no, we have in fact 21 units of affordable housing.
They're deed restricted?
It's deed restricted, yeah.
They're still in effect?
Yes.
It's not more than 30 years old?
It's perpetual.
No, it expires after 30 years.
What is that? It doesn't expire in 30 years.
Okay.
It's owned by the Roosevelt Senior Citizen Housing Corporation, which has no motivation to transfer to it for any other use.
Okay.
And it's required, and it's in the zoning ordinance.
Right, so you're saying we have 21, and we need 20 more?
Right.
Yeah, we would need 20 more units, right, exactly. I mean, unless we want to make the case that, we shouldn't have to prevent... To have more,
we have any place to put them.
Well, again, the place to put them would be if we were to allow additional units to go onto existing houses. If you say that,
there's no vacant land.
Right, of course, if the owner wants to do it, exactly right.
Who's his right mind to let you do that?
Who wants to do it? Somebody who wants to get more rent for his property? Who wants rent for his property?
So you don't have to actually do it. You just have to come up with a plan that says
how
we would meet.
There has to be a feasible plan. Yeah. Right. There has to be a feasible plan. So it's something that what I'm just suggesting is that the planning board ought to be looking at this.
But yeah, Michelle and I discussed this.
They should be looking at this right away.
Well, yeah, we've been discussing
with the planner,
it.
Yeah.
I wondered if it was feasible at all. In Clarksburg, they have that very nice little sort of enclave with whatever, of little, I wondered if we could put something like that at the gas station. There are some restrictions at the gas station, but I thought it would
be... We just need water and sewer.
Well, we have to put water and sewer, but we've talked about that. Excuse me. We've talked about that a number of times. Putting water sewer there will infinitely increase the possibilities at the gas station. Right now, it's none.
It's a possibility. Isn't it an odd-shaped lot? Isn't it like a horseshoe?
Well, I'm just talking about investigating now, you know, because I think what's in Clarksburg is lovely. In fact, didn't they build a second one?
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah,
and it's lovely.
And they're building a second one there now.
I just said that, yeah.
You're right.
And so I think that I envisioned that at the gas station many times because I thought, you know, it comports with our affordable housing obligation and... You know, it's been an eyesore for a long time.
That would be a good idea.
We don't know, because there's a buffer zone. There's all kinds of caveats there. There are a couple things in the master plan. I know you cannot put a nursery there of children, you know, because of how much, let me clean this up for the meeting, how many toxins were in the ground. So there's a couple different things that can't go there, and I know one is a nursery for children. I forget the other one right now, but at least we could begin the investigative process to see if we could put something like that there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Because we, you know, I think we all would agree that we don't want the builder's remedy. Then they can put up 21 affordable houses, you know, affordable housing, and like 40 McMansions. So... Not that we have the room, I don't know, but you know, they can
go down, but you can get the remedy.
You know, most of our land has been taken over, you know, by the various governmental units.
Not all of it, and you know, the developers, they go to court and they win.
What about where the factory is?
Well, that's privately owned.
Oh, privately, yeah.
So, for now, I just thought, I was going to bring it up in January, for us to at least begin... to allocate some funds to hire someone to see what it would take to make that a viable space for affordable housing.
But by what date do we need to have a
in January?
We need to have the plan.
We have to tell them not to have a plan, but we have to tell them, you know, whether their number is acceptable or not. And propose an alternative number if it isn't.
I'm having a horrible deja vu about this, the builder's remedy.
Yeah, that's why, like, let's get affordable housing in there.
Get something.
I mean, let's get like a little
it's
senior.
It's not
Roosevelt,
though.
Yeah.
Cranberry
absolutely.
Is speaking
yeah,
out.
Right.
It's not very far away.
No, it is not.
You know, the irony is that our houses are affordable here. Like, they're cheaper than anywhere else.
The irony, yeah.
But,
you know. Comparatively speaking, yes.
So, we should get that started to find, you know, get, Kathleen said we have to have the planner involved so we can contact Andy Thomas and start,
you have to involve, the planner has to be involved in as soon as possible.
Because it's, to me, it's just, I've been thinking about that for a long time. It seems ideal.
When is the planning board going to meet on this if it's due in January?
Well, I don't know if the planning board has to meet.
The planning board just has the planning board just has, if the planning board wants there to be a different number, then, but I don't know that we'd want a different
number.
It's
your planner.
I'll just call him.
But what would be our rationale for a lower number?
Because we don't have that much room anywhere.
Well, the room, but as I say, the alternative, the answer to that would be, you can put more than one unit on existing property.
Yeah.
If you get 20 people to agree to that, if you get 20 people to agree to that.
Yeah,
it wouldn't just be 20 people. It could be every single person. And if you change that...
Right.
Well, you make
now you got to change your zoning, you know.
You make it something that up to 20, you know, perhaps up to 20 can be converted or something of that
and
sort.
Only in certain zones.
I'll contact Andy.
I think what you're going to find is that once you do the vacant land adjustment and your planner adjusts it, it's not really like 20 units. It's more like less than 10. After you take away all the conserved parkland and slopes and things you can't build on here.
Swamps.
And so you're really looking at like one multi-family building.
You're looking at what?
Like one multi-family building of 20 units. Yeah, we give you four thousand units.
Yeah, that's what Clarksburg has, that lovely.
Like Allentown's, like Allentown's vacant land adjustment, like their need was like 34, and it was down to 6 units before the fourth round. So like the 20, I know it's 20 sounds like a lot, but like once you start taking off the parkland and stuff, and there's reasonable development potential, you're looking at really like one overlay zone probably here over what the old factory or something, if they develop that into housing. It's already in the middle of the residential neighborhood anyway, isn't it?
It's what?
Isn't that property like 3 acres in the middle of a residential neighborhood
that's
to begin with?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's residential.
I mean, that's your lot. You put an overlay zone in the old factory, then if it's developed, you would have to develop 20% affordable housing up to 30 units.
It's very historic. It's mentioned twice in the master plan.
I'm saying that if the factory building...
Well, that sounds like the perfect thing to create the overlay zone on.
If the exterior were kept the same, so it would meet the historical requirement, and just the... there were interior renovations, so it could use...
To that, the Long Branch.
The factory, the gas station, also converted to to residential. Yeah.
You don't have to create the housing units. You have to create... So Mount Laurel is not about building housing units. It's about using your zoning powers to exclude poor people or people of moderate incomes from your town. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what Mount Laurel is about. So you don't have to do anything here that creates a housing project. You have to use your zoning powers to create the reasonable opportunity or reasonable development potential for affordable housing units. So an overlay zone allowing... you know, the conversion of the old factory into a 20-unit apartment building would likely satisfy your obligation. Okay. And as you're aware, the obstacles to actually making that happen, from SHPO to sewering 20 units here where tripping filters don't work,
and it's
right, is very difficult. So, like, you know, Allentown has an overlay plan, has all sorts of stuff. They actually don't have certification. They got sued in a builder's remedy suit, and the builder gave up once we gave them the bill for the sewer plant. So there's, you know, there's a lot of ways to control what's going on in town. You cannot legally or constitutionally use your zoning powers to do that, to exclude moderate and low-income people from your town.
Okay,
no, so I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of a blanket zoning regulation that if you put it across the entire town, right, that it would clearly violate the Mount Laurel Doctrine. Okay, so you must have a minimum of 5 acres to build, and the minimal habitable floor area of your home must be 3,500 square feet.
Oh, I'd love that.
Right? So if that's your zoning requirements in your town, you tell me what house you're building that's affordable with those two zoning requirements. That would be exclusionary zoning, and that would be violative of Mount Laurel, right? If you zone the factory, notwithstanding the other issues that may arise from trying to develop an old historical factory, you zone that for affordable housing, that's your, you fulfilled your zoning obligation here at the borough. And then if the market will handle it, then you'll handle it.
It's late, it's really late, but I just want to throw this out there. What about eminent domain of the deli? Putting it there? I mean,
the deli's
been abandoned forever.
I think this is why you need to talk to the planner. So that makes a lot of sense from like a practical standpoint. From a planning standpoint, it's your only business district in the town and perhaps your only viable commercial property. And so I think that your planner might suggest other locations other than that one for where you might want to put your overlay zones.
It has to be 12 years more that it's abandoned.
Maybe, but let's say that we were talking about planning, right? So let's say that you're going to have 2 or 3 sites in town where there's going to be multifamily housing units. Well, then why would you can't give up the only commercial property in town? Theoretically, they would. That's the space that's supposed to serve as that
winery.
Community.
Isn't that commercial?
It is. Yeah. I mean, yes. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you should talk to the planner. Maybe that's an option.
And also, I'll just throw this out there. They've been asking me again, contacting me about us reviewing cannabis here. The farmers want to grow it, so that's something else for January or sooner. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
That closed.
I'm just reading my
closing the public portion at 8:53 p.m. Do we need a
49 cultivation licenses presently in the state of New Jersey?
Really?
Do we have a need for a closed session, Counselor?
Not tonight.
Okay. So remember, everyone, our next meeting is December 2nd. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Do.
Second?
Okay.
All in favor?
Yes.
Who is that? We?
Yeah.
You guys want to stay here? Yeah, you want to stay here?
8:54 p.m. out.